Good morning, and I welcome you all to this podcast, which is part of the initiative of Hindu Society of North Carolina, known as Know Your Dharma. And all the past recordings can be accessed on the hsnctemple.org/KYD website. Today, I'm particularly pleased to welcome a young student from University of Florida, Gainesville, by the name of Syama Allard. So let's start with a brief introduction of our guest.
As you said, my name is Syam. I was a student of the University of Florida. I've since graduated, but I'll get into that. As I was telling you before, I grew up in ISKCON, the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. My dad grew up in America. He joined in the 80s in Boston. And my mother, who's from Guyana, joined when she was actually 14. So they met and they got married and they had me. They moved to Alachua, Florida, which is 20 minutes outside of Gainesville, Florida. And we have the largest congregation in ISKCON in all of North America. So I grew up in a very large community with lots of friends and just the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita and Dharma, and specifically focused on, obviously, because it's the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, so specifically focused towards bhakti, towards Krishna. So I grew up in that, and as I was telling you before, as a young child, you have things make deep impressions on you. You're not very philosophical, you're not very intellectual. Not that I am either of those things now, but I'm definitely not. I definitely wasn't when I was.
I don't agree with that, but
back then I definitely wasn't. But I had very positive impressions, and I really enjoyed my childhood. So, as anyone, when I got to my formative years, when I turned 18, 19, I started having questions about life, and it's just natural that you delve into your roots, and that's what I did. And it just so happened that, it had a lot of the answers to a lot of the questions that I had. And most importantly as well, it was a place that was very nourishing, and it offered community. There's so many aspects of it that it had to offer me. So, as I got older, it's just been a journey of me. There's so much to learn always, so that's part of what's exciting about it. But basically from there, along with me figuring out my spiritual journey and going down that path, there's also my material journey of what am I going to do with my life. And I never really knew, to be honest. I'm not very good at science. I thought about going into the medical field, but I took a few classes, it didn't work out for me. I eventually just ended up studying. I was always good at English, and I'd gone to a community college on and off for several years, and eventually decided, I'm halfway through college. I'm at the point where I need to transfer to university. I don't know what I want to do with my life, but I should at the very least finish my degree. So I ended up transferring in journalism, and I studied journalism. I graduated a few years ago, back in 2017. I'm getting too much into the weeds of my own personal life here.
That's good. But what I want to know to begin with, perhaps, is that how do they structure ISKCON? How do they structure different age groups teaching them? Are there separate classes for different age groups, or you simply learn by osmosis, or what?
It is now the biggest congregation in North America, but it wasn't when I first joined, when my parents first moved here. And part of the reason why I think it grew so much is not only are we close to because ISKCON has a lot of farm communities. And the idea was to start their own gurukuls where they can teach, obviously, the worldly aspects of life, but also spiritual aspects. But not every community was very successful in being able to establish what they called a gurukul. So, but our community was. So ours grew pretty fast. And it even the gurukul evolved over time. Eventually I left and I joined another school, which was like kind of a gurukul, but not exactly. It became a charter school. But basically when I joined the charter school, they have different grades, and you know, go ahead. What are you going to say?
Was it ISKCON charter school or somebody else's charter school?
So it was started by an ISKCON member, and it was on the ISKCON property, but it was technically not ISKCON. We had a few other people who came who weren't part of ISKCON, and it was more secular, but everyone, 90% of the 95% of the students were from ISKCON, and the teachers were all from ISKCON. So it was kind of like being in between both worlds a little bit.
But they had spiritual education also as part of the curriculum.
So when once this charter school started, the charter school didn't have a spiritual curriculum, but basically what happened was, I know I'm going a little back and forth here. There was a gurukul. The gurukul was growing, and then for various reasons, it kind of like started to shrink a little bit and almost disappeared. But it and then this charter school started. But since then, the charter school is still there, and the gurukul has grown quite a lot. It's just been through different incarnations, but it's doing really well now, and it's actually part of the reason why the congregation is only getting bigger every day here.
Mm-hmm. Now, the reason I ask this question is that, you know, the reason for starting this new program, KYD program at HSNC, is that we want to reach the second, third generation kids. Most temples don't cater to these. They do basically pujas and havans and many things in Hindi or other vernacular languages. So not much for the people who were born and brought up here. And of course, now there are a lot of Bal Vihar like schools, Sunday schools types of things in many places. So they cater to K-12. But beyond that, once they get to college and young professionals after college, there is no connect with the temples. And how do we get that connection? Is a major question, and maybe HAF and maybe possible answer, I don't know. So please go on with that type of thinking or question.
Well, I know for me, when I was in my college years and post-college years, like so from like 18 to 25, 26, we actually had something called a bus tour. They called it Krishna Youth. I forgot the exact name, but we did basically every year there were two bus tours where they would take teenagers and young adults, and we'd travel to all the ISKCON centers in North America every year. So that would be during the summer. And then sometimes instead of doing that, we would go to Mexico and go to the ISKCON centers there. Or we would go to Europe and go to the ISKCON centers there. And we wouldn't just go to the ISKCON centers, but we would actually do different like dharmic performances. Like we would have plays that would convey dharmic values and principles. And we would have kirtans, have kirtan performances. So basically it was like you'd go on this tour and you would be with a group of people and you'd work together and you'd learn different things and learn and teach different things to other people. And it was a really great bonding experience. And it was a really great, like it made the community feel very international. And it also, you make a lot of really great connections. Because I think when people are at age 18, you start trying to figure out what you want to do with your life. And it can be pretty, not everyone knows, like, I don't know what the statistic is, but so many people who go into college with a particular major end up changing it even multiple times, which I know I was one of those people. So I think I think there's still, like you're saying, like you have K through 12 and people kind of just assume, okay, you go to college and move on from there. But I think having, I think a lot of times that's not a point of a person's life where they actually need to go back to their roots even more to get a stronger foundation to figure out what they want to do in life. And those youth bus tour programs I did were very helpful. And to this day, I still have a lot of strong connections, and it definitely helped me figure out what I wanted to do with my life.
Well, so yeah, that's a, you know, if you belong to a larger group like that, where this can be done, whereas many of the temples, like our temple here, is not affiliated with anything. It's been sampradayic, without, not attached to a sampradaya, in which case there is no such possibility. Of course, many universities have Hindu Student Association or Hindu Hindu Yuva and so on. But I don't see them as very active, really. They celebrate maybe Diwali, or they celebrate Ganesh Chaturthi or something, but they're not really imparting the spiritual education, the basics, if you will, of Bhagavad Gita or Upanishads and so on. And so that is the concern that a lot of us have. And how do we try to do this, and what mechanism? And I'm not sure. HAF is a very good resource in that context. And so maybe you can tell us about your connection with HAF, and how can HAF play a role in this very important endeavor?
Well, yeah, I'll just start by talking about my connection with HAF. So after I studied journalism, I got, basically my wife is from England. So I spent a little time not pursuing my career, because I had to have the flexibility to go back and forth between here and England to visit her. But when we decided that she was going to move here and we were going to get married, and I needed to figure out a job and settle down, I started applying to different places, and I eventually found HAF. I saw they needed a writer. I applied, and they very graciously hired me, and things have been going pretty well since. So I've been there for about a little over 2 years now. And one thing I realized about HAF is they're very open to different ideas, and they're very open to, they have different programs because the founders firsthand experience growing up, going to school and reading in textbooks, like all these misconceptions and false narratives about Hinduism. So a lot of HAF's work has to do with dispelling those narratives and misconceptions. And obviously part of that work is instilling proper education in the youth and the younger, you know, the younger Hindus. So one thing that they are usually open to is having interns, people coming to help if there's any way that they want to participate. Because the more you plug in, the more your world kind of opens up and you understand what's happening and you can plug into other areas. But they also have something called, they have a lot of different things, but they also have something called Dharma Ambassador Program. And I think something like that would be valuable for any young person to get, not only get a better understanding of Hinduism, but how to explain it to other people and convey it to other people.
But my impression is that this will be appealing to a very small segment of people. What we want to reach is those who are unreachable otherwise, you know. And so I thought this particular KYD initiative, the idea was that once a month or so there is a lecture, and then this radio program came along where I would interview many different people from many different backgrounds and all centered around Dharma. And that was going pretty well, but now that is a wrench in that. Of course, I don't know whether you get a chance to look at any of the recorded programs, but but again, you know, the idea was to reach the young people, but I don't think we are reaching the young people, you know. I was describing to somebody, it's like chicken and egg issue. They think that temples don't cater to them, because whenever they go to any event, there is a little, you know, chaos kind of thing. You know, people are walking around and nobody listening to anybody, and the language that they don't understand and so on. But when we do offer, they don't come. When we do offer these kind of opportunities, they don't come because they don't expect the temple to do anything useful for them. So how do we break this cycle? I'm not quite sure.
Can I ask like what kind of offers you present to the younger generation?
So there's a sequence of lectures that we have had. So one, for example, was a 4-part series by Acharya Vivek of Chinmaya Mission. And I specifically asked him to concentrate on dharma in daily living. And it was a wonderful set of talks. And there are many such attempting to get very good people to either give an overview. And there was one on dance as a healer, a professional, very good dancer, but interpreting dance as a healing. And then there was one on meditation. So many different topics. One was on art and architecture, temple art and architecture, and so on. So whole range of things that I thought would be very, very interesting to young people. But to get them, you can send them many emails. You tell their parents, but they don't show up. So I'm not sure how to break this cycle.
Yeah, I can't say that I have all the answers. All I can do is speak from my own experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the temple here they'll have different programs, like different things like that, that we can go to and we can listen. But again, like my interest in being part of the community it all came from actually physically being part of it. Like when I'm included, like rather than, hey, come listen to this lecture, when it was more like, hey, we're going to do this thing and we need 10 youth to come help and it's going to be a fun experience and you're gonna, like, I think making the youth feel empowered and giving them
getting them actually involved by participating and not just listening.
Exactly. Like when I, like, again, with the bus tours, I went because I was a young teenager. I was a teenager who just wanted to have fun with some friends. But while you're doing that, you have these, you experience these spiritual activities that become fun because you're doing it with other people. And it creates these deep impressions on you that you always want to plug back into that feeling. So when I came back from those bus tours, it made me want to participate in my temple activities more. It made me want to go to more programs. It made me want to become more part of the community. So, I mean, I think that's even an issue here, still trying to get the youth involved. But I just know that programs like the bus tour that I went on were integral in getting a lot of the youth to start participating more in temple activities.
No, but so that can, I think it's mostly possible with the K through 12 because they are the, you know, parents can bring them over. But I believe the real need is at the college level and early professional level when they become independent. And college level, they're not necessarily attached to this community and this temple. They are coming from outside. They don't have transportation. And then when they become professionals, they become very busy with their jobs. And so how do you entice them to at least come once and then see what is going on? I'm loading a lot on you, but...
I understand. Again, I'm not, I don't have all the answers or maybe no, not...
I don't expect some ideas, some
thoughts. Yeah, maybe not any of the answers, but it does sound like... I do think that, like, between, you know, the age, like when you're younger growing up, that's like a very pivotal time. I think it's hard. It's definitely harder when someone has already become a professional and they have their busy lives and they don't have any sort of emotional ties to a particular temple or community. It's hard to kind of get them to come back in. So how to do that? I don't know. I think I know one thing that I like, this was before I became a professional, but one thing, even after I graduated college, when I was looking for work, like having a place, like if the temple could offer or the community could offer any sort of internship or experience that I could get, then, I mean, it, as sad as it is, like we all live and are motivated by, to some degree by, or large degrees by our own self-interest. So a lot of times you kind of have to use that to pull people in. And then once they're, and they experience community and friendship and connection, then they just, it makes them want to come back more and actually offer some service. So I guess I would say if the temple could offer some sort of something of a professional incentive to bring people in, I don't know. I just know that definitely, like, you know, formative years, like teenage to the early 20s is when you really want to, I mean, even before that, obviously, is like, it's hard to create community after, everything's harder after you get to a certain age to try and interest people.
But in any case, what I would like HAF is to worry about this and put some guide. I'm a donor, I was in donors circle of HAF, so I would like more interaction and more help from HAF to the college groups, for example, and the early young professionals. They're terrific people, Suhak Shukla, and they're terrific people. And I know they're very busy, but yeah. If you can also put this as a part of their portfolio, I think it'll be very, very, very useful. Your own writing for HAF, what is the extent of it? I've seen only one article by you. What is the extent of it? How often do you write and what all on things?
So they're full-time content writer. So every week I'm writing articles. And they vary from more basic educational pieces like 5 things to know about karma or, you know, something like that. Or if Hanuman Jayanti is coming up, 5 things to know about Hanuman. So it varies from educational pieces like that to writing stories on kind of Hindus who have made strong impacts. I've written pieces on various poets from medieval times. I just wrote a piece on the founder of the Hare Krishna movement because the anniversary of when he first came to America was just last week. And they're an educational based program, obviously, and I mean, organization, and also advocacy. So I write pieces on, like I recently did some interviews on some of those who were alive during partition and are still alive now, and they talked about their experience. Or I've written pieces on Bangladesh genocide or Kashmir. So it ranges from pretty basic educational things to, you know, trying to bring awareness to atrocities that have happened in the past that need more awareness.
So in some sense, that my attempt is something similar with this radio program. So for example, one of the interview I had done was Narsi Mehta, for example. And
I think I wrote a piece on him, actually.
Yeah, so I can forward what I had, or you can, did I send you the website, hsnctemple.org?
You sent me a site with the, like a link to the radio programs.
Yeah, and so there were lots of things I've done, and they vary from all over the place. But some similar idea to one I had done on Shivaratri, which was just myself talking. And many of these are also write-ups that I have put on the several websites and so on. But yeah, if we can collaborate somewhere, I'm happy. Not that I have very little ability like yours, but similar attempt is being made. And but I really appreciate HAF, Hindu University of America, and Hinduism Today. These three, I believe, are pan-Hindu, right? They cover the entire spectrum of Hindus.
Yeah.
Then one particular sampradaya or one particular country, and they cater to Hindus all over. And I don't know how much collaboration takes place between these three, but I think more collaboration, the better. I think Hindu University of America is well known to HAF, right? As well as Hinduism Today magazine.
I don't know about the university, just because I'm not so aware, but I know that we do we definitely have staff members who have connections to Hinduism today.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's some collaboration, definitely. And there, like you said, there, as a writer for HAF, like you said, it covers, it's not one specific sampradaya or lineage or you know, way of thinking. It covers everything. Mm-hmm. Or it tries to the best of its ability. So I know for me as a writer, I'm constantly, I've had over the last 2 years, I've had to learn the art of not stepping on anyone's toes, writing in
that's
a way.
That's also important, yeah, because if you make a statement, you know, Swami Sarvapriyananji in recent talk said that any question you ask in Hinduism, there is answer is yes and no.
Yeah.
Everything has a nuance, right? It's, and different people think differently, yeah. But anyway, if you don't know Hindu University of America, that's a terrific organization. And they offer courses and all, but the people are just fantastic. So these three are very, very appreciative. This HAF, Hindu University of America, and Hinduism Today. But yeah, I'm very, very happy that you agreed for this little exercise here. And so I thank you once again for participating in this podcast under the umbrella of Know Your Dharma Initiative of Hindu University of Hindu Society of North Carolina. And that